Welcome back to another edition of Real News Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm going to be joined in a minute by Justin Cook. Last week, we did a 9/11 special. This week, we're going to do a little follow-up on that, but we're not going to do 9/11 the whole show. I know you guys, a lot of you guys do like the 9/11 stuff, but obviously we need to move on to some other things. We're going to talk a little bit about that 17-year-old that got shot. We're going to talk a little bit about this whole thing with Google trying to get a patent. Well, they did get a patent to be able to, get more than just listening with microphones now on your computer. I guess now they're going to be able to get your room temperature and all this other crazy nonsense. When I first seen the story, I wasn't sure if it was just, you know, more fear-mongering or whatnot. But it's out all over the place, so it appears to be a valid story. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to run down a few points from 9/11 that I didn't, as crazy as it sounds, you know, doing a 4.5-hour show the last time, I didn't really get to get across everything I needed to get across. There were a few points I still wanted to get to. And I'm going to go through some of those, and then when we're done, I'm going to open up the phone lines, and I'm going to let any of you guys that have any questions, just call in. So let's get right to it. You know, I think that with everything I told you about all the new information for 9/11, I know a lot of you guys, it was totally new to you. I'm sure it was pretty shocking, because when I found that out, it was all shocking. For those of you that are new to us this week, I really can't go back through the whole, 4 hours of it. You'll have to catch up with the show in the archive, or go to the there's a page right on the website. It's called the new 9/11 radio special and blog, and there's a bunch of evidence to follow along. Just press play, man, and just go down, follow all the pitches, all the videos. But we're gonna just move past that now, and I'm assuming everybody that's in here has at least heard it or has at least maybe read one of the blogs from the past. Some of the questions that I feel that people might have, I want to address right now. What about the independent footage? That's one of them. You know, people talk about the home camcorders of, the supposed second plane, or, all these other videos that popped up on YouTube. It's all controlled, all of it. And I know that sounds like a blanket statement, and I'm throwing everything under it, but you got to understand, this was a military operation. There was nobody inside of a certain zone that they had set up, a perimeter, okay, to be taking all this footage. Now, I don't know, and this is, and I usually like to just talk about what's fact. Something happened in New York that day, as far as people being able to use their cameras and video cameras and cell phone cameras and everything. I don't know, speculation, EMP weapon, it could be a variety of things, but don't think that's out of the realm. We're talking about 9/11 here. Look at all the trouble they went through, all this crazy nonsense of building the buildings the way they were and everything else. Somebody's trying to call in right now. Guys, we're not going to take any calls right yet, okay? We're just going to just give me a few minutes. I just want to run down the points, and we'll open the phone lines in about 10 minutes. I'll let you guys know, okay? I hate to hang up on somebody, but I'm going to do it. The whole perimeter of the building, first of all, besides the fact that there was nobody in the building, they had, there's certain people that were in the operation, okay, that, were given street interviews or whatever, with all these videos that we see of the people that were part of it, the media people giving the interviews, all that. All those people were inside the perimeter, but anybody else wasn't getting in there. So any footage that came from in there, or, the adjacent buildings right next to the World Trade Center, supposedly, that was all put out by the government. That was all propaganda. And if you don't believe me, go through, you do this yourself, okay? Go through the footage of the second plane with all the supposed home videos, okay? And, without even getting, too deep into it, and without even, not even talking about trying to figure out if it's fake or real. We already know the plane's not real, but just look at the trajectory in all the planes. I mean, it's different. They all have different flight paths and stuff. It's quite absurd. You know what I mean? It really is. It's quite absurd. And that's how all that footage was contrived. So all the stuff you see on, like, Camera Planet, I mean, come on, guys. Camera Planet, I wasn't, I don't think, I think this was a little before my time in the movement, but I know that they just got allotted at one point, just thousands and thousands and thousands of videos. And why does that happen? What, did they just stumble across them? No, come on, they were given to them by the government. YouTube, and I'm not saying it was set up strictly for 9/11, but it certainly did help get the story out, didn't it? I mean, think about it. It certainly helped spread, all the firefighter interviews and all the what you thought was the controlled demolition interviews. Another point I wanted to get into real quick is I don't think, okay, now we talk about COINTELPRO, disinfo agents. These are counterintelligence. If you don't know what these other terms mean, shills, some people call them. A few of these terms I didn't even know until I got into this stuff. Okay, just like an agent for the government that is there to basically mislead you, and they're everywhere, especially in the alternative media. I mean, it's full of them. Now I'm not going to sit here and run down the list of all of them. Just consider them all guilty until proven innocent. Okay. Seriously, that's how you have to be with this, because they've all lied to you about this. Now, I don't think, and I was talking to a friend, a personal conversation last night about this. I don't think they all know this whole story. They don't need to, okay? Certain people at the top, the bigger names, the Alex Joneses, even the people like Willie Rodriguez, probably, and definitely like people in George Bush's cabinet, people with other big shows, the way they have to make sure they misdirect people. So if people call in, they know they got to what they need to stay away from. They need to stay away from the Hollow Towers. They need to direct people away from that. So those type of people would know. But as far as everybody knowing about it, no way, no way. Guaranteed, okay. For instance, let's talk about the media, okay? Now, when the media did this, and the media was involved in this as much as anybody, if not more. I mean, it was a media job. It was Hollywood. It was the media. It was a lot of fakery and shenanigans going on the TV. I mean, let's be frank about it. That's what it was, okay? Do I think all the people at the TV stations knew about this? No. And I can prove it to you, actually. I have a great example. If you guys go back to the blog from last week, right? And you go to the section that's about the second plane. If you scroll down, there's a video down there. It talks about Flight 175 still being in the air after the South Tower collapses because this guy on MSNBC, this is perfect point, he wasn't in on it because he wouldn't have done what he did. He pointed out that Flight 175 was one of the three planes that was still in the air, and this is after both towers had collapsed. So I just think when it comes to the media, obviously a top level person has to know, like an executive producer type, okay? Definitely one really good technical guy. I don't think they're going to involve a whole team in it. They might involve a few, I don't know how big of a project it would be, okay? I would tend to think they tried to keep as many people out as they could. So they'd probably put an executive producer, a lead technical guy that can do all the video editing, any software stuff, any audio editing that they need to do. And that's pretty much it. And then they would have some people in the field. So those people would have to be in on it. Okay. Now, there might be, and even out of those people, right? Now, let's talk about this. Do the executive producer and the technical guy that are in on the 9/11 scam need to know that the buildings were empty and all of that? No, they don't need to know that. They just need to know when they're going to cut in the second plane and all the computer imagery, and they just know they're going along with the scam. And but you know what? I want to take that back, actually. Because that kind of goes against something I've already. I do want to take that back because they would be guilt-ridden if there were 3,000 deaths. So yeah, those people at the two top people at the TV station, I think that they would know. They would be in on the scam, okay? But you would see where the regular reporters wouldn't have to be in on it. The field reporters would have to be in on it. They'd have to probably know about it, that people aren't dying, because in good conscience, they couldn't go forward with it. So there probably are a lot of people that know about it, okay? There actually probably are. And then there's probably a lot of people that are just hired by the government, by like the CIA and whatever, and they're just regular agents that you see out in the field, and they're put out there to just make sure you don't get to the truth, and they misdirect you, and it's everywhere, and that's what you guys got to watch out for, because just think about everything that we've talked about 9/11, Think back. Think back about all the bullshit these, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to swear, but that's a word I use sometimes. Look at all the bull crap that these people have shoved down your throat for the past few years. Think about it. They've been lying to you. Now, does everybody at Russia Today or everybody at, one of these other sites know the whole deal? No, of course not. But they still know they've been lying to you about it. I'm sure they do. And especially the big ones, And I fell for it. I was a sucker. I trusted Alex Jones. Okay? And I know a lot of people still do. I bet you there's still people listening to this show right now that are like, what is he talking about? Don't attack Alex Jones. He's a patriot. He's not a patriot, guys. Okay? And I'm not going to do a whole show about Alex right now. And me and Justin have done this, plenty of times. And this is important stuff. He's a dangerous guy. Okay? And he is one of the main people that absolutely knows the whole story because he has to take calls on it and has to, he appoints himself the leader of 9/11 Truth or whatever. So he has to know about it because he has to avoid it. Okay? And so if somebody calls and starts talking about it, he has to attack their credibility. He has to, change the subject or hang up on them. And that's what these people do. All these people that you probably know by name that you see on the TV or on the radio, on the bigger shows, you got to be skeptical, guys. You really do. Because you don't get to that point usually unless the message you're putting out is controlled, and that's just how it is. And how do you even know about me? You're probably saying, right? You don't. You know what I mean? Just keep looking into the things that I say. See if they're valid. See if I'm trying to intentionally mislead you ever. You know what I mean? That's what you got to look for. Once somebody intentionally misleads you once, that's it. You know what I mean? That's it. You shouldn't trust them anymore. I don't know where Justin is, my co-host. He hasn't joined me yet. I hope he calls in a minute. We're gonna keep going here. I just got a few more points I want to run down, guys. I swear, I'm gonna open the phones for you guys soon. The other thing is the money, okay? How much money we talking here? Who was paid? How much were they paid? And where did it come from? Well, guys, you have, and I think we might have touched on this on the last episode, briefly, but I'm not sure. So I'm going to go down it real quick. You basically had a victim compensation fund and a business compensation fund, okay? Now, without getting into too much detail, what they were was $1.9 million to $3 million for every family of a victim of 9/11. And then you also had $36 billion in another fund that was set up for, the businesses, maybe if they needed to, I guess, rebuild or whatever after they had lost people on 9/11 or something. So you had like 40, you had like 42, $43 billion between the two foundations. Now, with this operation, you needed a lot of people. Okay? They paid a lot of people. All these people you see, around the towers, giving all these interviews, were all paid to do that. Okay? So I'm saying, let's just go for a high number here. 800. Let's just say they hired 800 different actors to take part in this. Okay? 800. They could give those people, all of them, $1 million a year for 50 years, basically the rest of their life, as long as they don't speak. Think about it. How good would that work? Now, if nobody died and you're taking part in this scam and Uncle Sam's giving you $1 million a year for the rest of your life and all you got to do is live that lie, I could see how a lot of people would do it, Now it's still wrong. Absolutely wrong. I mean, look at what's happened to, the other side of the world. You guys can't forget that, okay? This is so important that I should have brought this up the last show. Just because this whole thing was a hoax, a media hoax. We still invaded two countries because of it. And still going. We're still invading countries since we started that. And it's in direct relation to 9/11. It wasn't just Iran and Iraq, okay? I mean, Iraq and Afghanistan. everything we're doing is basically 9/11 snowballed all of that into motion. So you could give all these people $1 million a year for 50 years, as long as they don't speak. Once they speak, you just pull the money. That's it. You pull the money. You see how it works now? Just you got to think about everything different. When there's not 3,000 victims, how easy is it to keep this thing quiet when people are compensated so well? It's a lot easier. A lot easier than people think. Okay? Now, I want to get into the truth movement real quick. Okay? And after that, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to try and give my co-host a call, and I am going to open up the phones as soon as we get back. There's one more point I want to make before we do that. The truth movement. Okay? Why does the truth movement do what they do? You know, why are they out there screaming that the government did this, that, and the other thing? Because they're still barking up the wrong tree, that's why. Did they lead you down the ultimate rabbit trail with all these other stories? And that's why, if you notice, anytime you come out and talk about, you know, without, you know, you talk about 9/11, but you don't include the four airplanes or the 3,000 victims. You know, a lot of these so-called truthers, you know, they don't want anything to do with you. That's not just because they don't agree with your viewpoint. Absolutely not. That's because you're barking up the right tree. And that's why the whole no plane thing was what it was. That's why they, you know, they insulted the no planers and tried to make them sound like COINTELPRO, this, that, and the other thing. Because the no plane thing was key. It was key. Because when you know that the second plane was fake, you're looking for video fakery. That's what you're doing. You've already started. You've watched a plane break through a building, and the building didn't even break until after. The plane's already halfway in the building. Look at the video. It's in the blog. Go to the blog. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, go to the page that says the 9/11, the new 9/11 blog that we set up. Okay? Scroll down and go to the video of the second plane going through the towers. Pause it at like 6 seconds in, 7 seconds in even, either or. The building's still not broken. It's a magical plane, melts right through the building. It's amazing. This is what you had all day. Right? So that's why they don't want no, you know, no plane is getting any credibility. You know what I mean? Because then people start looking at the video. When you start looking at the video, you start seeing all that stuff that I was talking about. Building 7 disappearing at 10:30 in the morning. You know, all sorts of absurd things that they can't explain. Just disappearing right off the screen. And that's because they did everything in layers, okay? They would have a video layer of the buildings in the foreground, and then they would have the towers, which would be manipulated on computer-generated software of some sort. And then they have the background. And there's great proof that the background was layered too, because if you go to the blog there and you scroll down and you look at the video that shows the side by side of the plane, the first video is the morning news, okay? And it shows the tower just exploding. You don't see the plane. And you can see like the water that's behind Manhattan there. Now the video on the right is the evening news, and they added the plane for the dramatic effect, okay? But look at the background. It's completely gone. Okay? It's completely gone. That can't happen in a real camera shot. You can't make me believe that. Now, we didn't notice it back then. We were all in shock. We didn't notice the background, you know? But it completely vanishes. Look at it. It's gone. It's not even there. It's completely washed out. Unbelievable, huh, guys? Unbelievable. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. Just stick right here. You're listening to Real News Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us during that brief break. And earlier, guys, I apologize about the extra profane music. I thought I didn't have that exact cut up there. But you know what? Sometimes you got to do it anyways. It feels good to let it out, you know? You guys know that I don't, because I know we have some new listeners. I don't want them to think I'm out here just cussing all the time. Anybody that listens knows that I don't, not doing that. Guys, hold on one second. Our co-host is trying to call in right now. He's calling in on the phone. There must be a problem patching him through. Well, at least we'll have him. Justin Cook will be here in a minute, guys. So what we're going to do, guys, I'm going to open the phone lines for you guys. You know, anybody that wants any questions on any of the stuff that we went over with the whole 9/11 thing, the whole hoax last week, anything we just covered right now, you know, feel free to call in about it. You know, I did a show. Was it last night? Yeah, last night I did a show. Last night I did a show called Out of the Darkness and Into the Light, and I just want to thank everybody over there for having me on. We talked about 9/11 over there, and I went back and forth with their host, and they asked a lot of great questions over there, so I suggest some of you guys maybe want to catch up with that after. I'll throw it up on the site. It was a pretty good show. You know, one of the ways they were able to pull this illusion off, and we're going to get right into some other stuff in just a couple minutes, guys. I'm just waiting for Justin. He's going to be here in a minute, and we'll dive into the other material that we're going to cover tonight. We're not going to stick on 9/11 too long if you guys don't want to talk about it. But, you know, one of the ways they were able to pull this illusion off forever, guys, is right from the start, they started the propaganda campaign, okay? They started putting out DVDs, stuff on the, you know, in the newspapers, you know, just talking about the towers all the time and, you know, these bustling office buildings and, you know, they're so busy and, you know, they put out the rumor of 50,000 people working in there. And people, there were some people that worked in there, okay? There were some businesses. I mean, I know there were for a fact, but they weren't like what we were told. You know, even according to their own stuff, their own documents, if you go through and go back and look through the occupancy report, you don't have to read through every single tenant that's ever lived there, but do a little extra research, right? And just go back through it and just look at the absurdity of what happens right before 9/11. Now, if you go back and you read through the occupancy report and you look at all the companies when they moved in and when they moved out and everything, the towers are only listed as being like 30, 35% capacity, you know, full capacity. They're not even close to full the whole life, okay? And then in the last like 2 years before 9/11, like 1999, 2000, 2001, they shoot up to 95%. Isn't that just absurd right there? Without even getting into all the crazy evidence that we had, all the pictures of the stripped out floors, the guys, we're going to take a call right now. So hang on one second. We're going to put the caller right on the air. Oh, did I hit the wrong button? I did. Here we go. You're on the air, Real News Radio. Hello? Caller?
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Yep, you must have been muted or something. I was hoping it
yeah,
wasn't.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm a new listener, actually.
Okay. Is tonight first night?
Sorry?
Is tonight the first time you listened?
No. I listened to like two episodes.
Okay.
Including the 9/11 special.
Okay, good. I was hoping it wasn't your first night tonight. I'm like, oh boy, you must have a lot of questions.
No.
What's up?
I had a question about this whole thing.
Sure.
The reason why you think that the they went along with the whole thing in the controlled position about yep. how 3,000 people died.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it's because they want to exaggerate the power they have in the minds of people?
You mean the actual number, why they use the number 3,000? Like why such a high death total? Is that what you mean? Well, 'cause the effect, if only, let's say only 127 people died, right? Would 9/11 be 9/11? I mean, it'd be a big thing, but it wouldn't be, this massive loss of life that it was, supposedly. I think it makes a big difference. That's why they went with. Also, if you think about the number, if you look at the number, it's almost the exact same as the amount of people that Pearl Harbor. It's very similar.
No, but I mean, the reason why the people like Alex Jones and
Yeah.
others that they follow this line of thought is because they want to create fear
Oh,
and
yes, absolutely.
have the conspiracy people exaggerate in their minds the power that they're up against.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point, buddy, because that's what, these people there, besides, just trying to mislead you with the information, they want to scare you because fear is control, right? When they have you scared, that's when they can control you. And if you spend a little bit of time like on InfoWars or whatever, I mean, even my buddy mentioned this to me without me even bringing this whole point up to him. He told me, since I stopped listening to Alex Jones, he's like, I'm just happier. I'm not scared of everything. I don't think everything's out to get me all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you look at it, in some ways, it's almost more logical for them to, because they're Fabian socialists, right? So they want to do things gradually. So it makes more sense to, like, not just declare martial law.
Yeah, I don't think they want to declare martial law.
More
How long have they
logical.
been threatening us with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you think really about it, it's more logical to have things evolve slowly and in a kind of a future where it's like a cross between 1984 and these like Shadowrun or Deus Ex or like this kind of cyborg future.
Yeah.
Or like Minority Report.
Oh, that's what they would love. They would love for it to be like that. You mean that? You kidding me? They call one second. I'm gonna add our other host, Justin Cook, to the call right now. He's dialing in. Justin, you're live on the air. We have a caller too. You're live on the air with Miguel, Brian Stavely, and this is our co-host, Justin Cook.
I'm sorry.
You might cut out. I think you got a loose wire again.
A little too long to sneeze. Hold on a second.
There you go. We hear you now. It's clear now.
It should be good,
Yeah.
except for the echo.
Oh, caller, you should have told me. I didn't even realize that. There you go. Caller, I'm sorry if you had an echo. I didn't even realize that. It should be gone now. Yeah, Miguel, why don't you tell your last point again to Justin about the fear and about Alex Jones and the whole thing related to 9/11.
Well, yeah, I think that they use that in order to make the conspiracy theory people look like more like frantic people, like more like desperate lunatics, and like just to make us look bad in general.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that there's a lot of I think a big is just
You keep cutting out, Justin. Your mic is not working so well.
Hold on. I gotta hold it again. Hold on. You hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I'm trying to hold it like this. Hopefully that's fine. Yeah, I was talking to someone this week, about Charlie Sheen, and a lot of people, and the person I was talking to was trying to say, well, you know, hey, Sheen was this great guy. I think, no, oh, garbage. Sheen was put out there to make everybody think that anybody who you know, believes 9/11 was inside job or anything, you know, anything from that, you know, they're gonna put in the same category as Charlie Sheen, who's now like the biggest crackhead on the face of the earth, you know, and that's what Jones and them they help put up that character by being the fear character, the, you know, the now you get drugs with him and, you know, and everything else. I don't know. That, you know, that's pretty much my take on it. I think
so too, with all that Tiger Blood nonsense and all that. They want, you know, yes, they want these people to represent 9/11 truth, acting like idiots.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when people like us that are serious about it go and try and tell other people, oh, yeah, this is the Charlie Sheen nonsense, or this is the Alex Jones with the bullhorn nonsense. That's what they do.
Exactly.
They want to trample all over it, you know?
Yep.
And it also makes the truth less palatable, because the minds of ordinary people will just revolt against the idea that the government killed 3,000 of its own people. Whereas if you just told them, they just fake all that up and nobody died, then people would be, oh, okay, well, then they wouldn't revolt.
Oh, exactly.
Spontaneously at the idea, and they would look into it, right?
Yeah, they're protecting the secret, you know, to the core, man. I mean, they really do not want this to get out. But the thing is, with all the evidence that's out about it, I mean, it's this type of evidence. I mean, it's just too much. It's undebunkable. They can't debunk it, so they have to avoid it. That's why you won't even hear them talk about it. And as soon as somebody starts to go down that road at all, that's like, again, that's why as soon as people talked about the second plane, they wouldn't let him go any further, because they do not want you talking about video fakery or the media's involvement or anything like that. They have to keep you away from the real truth, because once people realize that it was a hoax, they're going to be really pissed off, first of all, and they're not going to be scared of the terrorists anymore, I don't think. I would hope.
Right. Right, yeah. I think that shows them who the enemy is, and that's the people that tried to convince you to go to war and killed all these people in all these wars, you know. So I think the people are going to look at it and say, hey, you know, that wasn't cool. That was something, you know, that was a movie, you know, that pretty much just, you know, made me and my kids scared to, you know. But that's how they do it. You know, the thing is, they operate off fear. And, you know, many of us know this, too, of course. You know, it's just part of what they do. They like having us, you know, at an unstable region, you know, and that's part of it. You know, you feed into the fear, and you know, you what happens, you know, when you think negative. You know, I'm not going to get into all, like, you know, but it's reality. If you feel, you know, if you, I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say, Brian. You know, but all that negativity all day, and you're just concentrating on TSA. That, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to get into the Jones and guys too much today, unless that's all we're going to talk about.
No. That wasn't my thing either. He actually brought it up, though. The caller brought it up. So, you know, I kind of had to.
Yeah, okay.
He actually said he brought up the whole fear thing. He was like, you know, what do you think about Alex Jones and the fear? And, you know, and then I told them that's one of the biggest tools. I mean, that's what they use, is the fear. That's what 9/11 is, guys. That's what 9/11 is all about, the fear. Fear these terrorists. Exactly. You know why? Because it's they want you to hate those kind of people. And those people are just like us, man. They're no different. Anybody out there that thinks you're any better than people over there because of the color of your skin or the way you dress, you're an idiot. You're a moron. Seriously. Those people over there, okay, and I shouldn't say over there. It sounds like it doesn't mean anything. The people in these countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, okay, they're just like you. They want to go to work, provide for their families, love their children, enjoy their time on the weekend. They don't want to strap bombs to themselves and come over here and blow you up. Are you kidding me?
You know, and that's the whole thing about it. It's no matter what happens, and, you know, I was at a family outing, in fact, today, and everything, and, you know, and that's all I'm hearing from the, you know, the American people is about they're just equating it with oil and equating it with, you know, with going to war. And I'm like, well, you know, when have you guys learned that that, you know, the last four oil war, you know, three or four oil wars here, and we're still paying more than it, paying $4 at the pump now. It's like, you know, when do people understand that what they're doing is they're taking our resources and you know, pretty much using the, you know, the available, you know, it's a resource war. But that's the whole thing, is that there's no scarcity. It's all contrived scarcity.
But, well, it's worse than that, because whenever they're starting the war, it actually, it cannot increase the supply. It's just war is such a waste that it's going to destroy the oil more
The only thing their supplies are going up in is opium and gold and everything else. The thing is with them, I don't think that they're in a race to get all the end of the oil though. But
they don't even need it.
No, they don't.
But they want to pretend that they need it. They can even never mind just suppressing the free energy technology and all the things that we're probably going to get into in a second. They don't want to even get off the oil, really, because that's part of their imperialism. That's how this empire has been built. It's been built on oil, and do you know what I'm trying to say? The oil empires. I mean that's, you know, that's been the basis of a lot of the stuff that they've done. If oil's not worth anything and nobody's using it, that kind of really upsets their power structure a lot. It's going to upset a lot of big people.
Yeah, the whole thing here is they need to make us believe that the most the best way to get everybody around right now is still oil and you know, in drilling and everything else. And when you look at it, you know, how many other things are there, you know, different types of technology? And when you have four high school kids or whatever make a car that goes 350 miles per gallon, you know, in Kansas or whatever it is, and it was an alternative high school. When you get, you know, people that get 350 miles a gallon, you mean to tell me that Ford and GM and all these companies can't do that? Of course they can. You know, of course they can. Now we're talking, I'm talking easily 10 times what the normal car is getting right now. You know, easily, probably 20 times. If your normal car probably gets 17 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. So.
In my research, there's all the only really important people that they've there's two main centers of the power. The first is money, like money creation and banking. And the other one is oil.
Okay.
Whenever there was a prominent figure that came up that could challenge their whole monopoly system, they would get rid of him. The first, I guess, would be Nikola Tesla.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. You know, speaking of Tesla, we want to talk about these cars. He built a car all the way back in, like, the 40s that was built off free energy, no gasoline. And back then, the thing went over 90 miles an hour. So what are you telling me now, 60, 70, 80 years later? I mean, come on.
And in finance, that would be people like... I don't know if you've ever heard of C.H. Douglas.
I'm not familiar.
Social credit.
Oh, exactly. Yes, social credit. Yes, the monetary system. Right.
Yes.
Yes. So social credit is a pretty good system. I believe, as far as something that we should be looking into, or, you know,
as or something alike, right?
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to the fiat system, you know, or not the fiat, but the anything fractional reserve banking. I think usury is the real enemy, though, which is, you know, which is your interest. You know, they're just killing you by making you pay money on your money, you know, and a lot of times you're paying money on, I don't know, you know, money that's
paying interest on interest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The principal ends up, you know, it's. You know, it's a game where they've figured out every which way to it's a racket. It's so many rackets in one, and yet at the same time they tax you and tell you that this tax is going to make you safer. You know, it's just they don't care what they do. They you know, it's just it's class warfare out there right now. So they got to make the little guys, you know, are all the if you want to say 99%. This way they divide the 99% into the 45 and the 44, or the, you know, or whatever's clever, because it's just keeping the people away from uniting with each other. You know.
Oh, absolutely. That's shrinking the middle class. I mean, it's getting so small.
It's the middle class is turning into the poor, or you know, or the glad to be to be barely working here, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Justin, before you got on, and I want to just finish it up, and then we'll move on to the new stuff we were going to do tonight. I had a couple of points about 9/11 that I wanted to finish up that I didn't really get around to the last week, and I'm just going to run down like 5 points by you real quick, and just if you had anything you wanted to add to it. If not, that's fine. We'll just move right on. But, you know, while you're here, I just talked about, you know, how they were able to keep it so quiet, and, you know, how the whole thing changes when nobody dies, you know. The whole thing is just – it's totally different. You know, people are able to take that money and keep their head high.
Well, let me tell you something like this. People say something of that scale is not possible with that amount. For one, it's all broken down into what's the word I'm looking for? We're compartmentalization.
Yeah, yep.
You know, it's really compartmentalized. And look, guys, the Manhattan Project. Here's a perfect example of something that lasted how long without being detected. You know, things can go on in secret with thousands of people, and you won't know. You know, they are I think anyone in America is really naive to believe that they're going to listen to, you know, the regular news and not do any research and think that they're going to be told anything of significance. No, you're just going to be told, you know, be a good slave, be a bad, you know, whatever it is, you know. I don't want to get off on a tangent there, but I think you know what I mean. Go ahead, Brian.
Absolutely. And a couple of the other things people ask about, what about the independent footage? There was no independent footage. All that footage was within a certain perimeter. It was all controlled. Well, and something probably happened in New York. You know, I'm not sure. But there was something to an effect where the phones were shut down. EMP device, I don't know. We could speculate, though.
Well, you can look online and you can find jammers that would work. And these jammers will take out every device. And that was reported, heavily reported on that day, that people couldn't use a cell phone, couldn't use for the whole time that event was going on. You couldn't use your cell phone. And they were just saying the lines were busy from too many people trying to call.
They didn't let the local media broadcast anything, and the excuse they gave was, "Oh, their antennas were on top of the Trade Center."
Come
on, guys, how fishy is that? Yep. Come on.
That's what they said. They also said the crash messed with the other one, but that thing was standing straight up. If anything, maybe a second or two, but then it should have been back to normal.
Exactly, Carl. You had another question, you said.
Well, so they would have had to clear out all the stuff and evacuate, like, all the stuff that was in the building, like most of the stuff.
So you're saying most of the stuff wasn't even in there in the first place.
Yeah. That's what I got from your research.
Okay.
But basically, it was giant, like, just empty floors.
Exactly.
And people were cleared out of the buildings around?
People were cleared out of the buildings around there, too, yeah. Because, you know, and I didn't know this until, you know, a few months into already realizing 9/11 wasn't what the government said. There were a lot of buildings that came down, guys. It wasn't just World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. It was 1, 2, 3, 6, 4, 5, 4. 6, 8. I mean, there was a ton of them. I don't want to misquote. I'm not sure about 8.
I believe it was 4 and 6 also were the other ones that came down.
Yeah,
but they didn't come
in the hotel, right? Or was that counted as one of them?
I think the hotel would be six. Yeah, here's the thing though: a couple of them didn't come down. They just had massive damage to, you know, and it fit, you know. But those buildings were not. There was no either middle or no, you know, whatever to them. So whatever the hell they did there,
yeah,
you know.
So yeah, it wasn't just the two buildings. It was a whole bunch of them.
What about the molten metal that they showed, like to kind of pinpoint their termite theory?
That was propaganda fake? to back up the truth movement story to chase you down that rabbit hole. Carla, listen, we have another call right now, so we're gonna move on and throw him on the air. I want to thank you for calling in. Please call in next week, okay?
Good question on that too.
I'm trying to add him to the call. It's not letting me. Hold on. I'm gonna switch over to him. Hold on. Hey, Bo, I couldn't add you to the conference. Yeah. Call right back, and I'm gonna add you to the conference. Okay, guys. Sorry about that, guys. It wouldn't let me add the new caller to the conference. Justin, you here?
Yeah, I'm here, Brett.
Okay, that's Bo Lacoste calling in. So he's gonna call right back, and we're gonna get him on. He wants to call in from Informed Radio. I don't know if he's still with them. Do you know?
I don't know. Bo's a good guy, though. Bo's with us?
No, he is. Why is it not letting me add him to the conference? Bo, I'm having an issue adding you to the call.
Could be my computer.
Yeah, it won't let me add you to the conference.
All right, hey, what night you on?
Every Sunday night.
Any other day?
No, just Sunday nights.
I'm not home right now. I'm on a real old computer.
Hold on,
that could be why.
Yeah, I don't know, Bo.
I'll try again next time. What was the discussion tonight? Topic?
9/11, but you know what? The whole audience can't hear anything. I'm going to have to click over. I'm sorry. It just won't let me add you to the call.
All right, dude. All right, have a good one, man.
All right, buddy. Keep listening. I'll try and get you on next time. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. If we can't get him on, it's not working.
Hey, Brian, I'm back now.
Yeah, I know. I can't add him to the call. It's just not working. I don't know what's up with Skype.
Maybe you can't add another Skype caller. Maybe have him calling from a landline or a cell or something.
Yeah, I don't know. He said maybe it's his computer. The call that we're in right now is still showing me that Miguel's in it, but he hung up already.
Mm.
Yeah, that's odd. That is odd. All right, well... What else? I had a few more things I didn't want to go down here on the whole list here. You know what I'm gonna try and do, Justin, is we're gonna real quick. I'm just gonna hang up and I'm gonna have you call me right back just so I can end this conference call. That way, other callers don't have an issue.
Sure.
All right, I'm gonna drop this call. You call right back in. All right, guys, we apologize about that. A little technical difficulty there. I don't know what the story was. We're supposed to be able to have up to 10 callers at once. It's not supposed to be an issue. We have the pro account or whatever. You're supposed to be able to have 10 people up on the Skype. But Bolacoss was calling in. We just couldn't add him. And I was trying to do what I could, but it was too much dead air for you guys. So we had to just, you know, skip all that nonsense. Here's Justin calling back in. All right, Justin, you're back live on the air. Yeah, I don't know what that is, but hopefully now – Bo, if you're still listening, if you want to try one more time, I'll try and add you. I'm real sorry about that. I'd love to have you on, man. It's been a long time since we talked. We had some dead air, though. While I was talking, you would kind of put the station on hold, so we couldn't keep doing that. A couple other things, you know, we'll end the 9/11 stuff and get into some new things.
Maybe if Bo has a quick question, he can't call in, have him type it or something.
Yeah, Bo, if you can, you know, just throw it in the chat. You know, if there's something you want to... throw out there, just throw it in the chat on the website, you know, right on the Real News Radio page, and we'll answer your question live on the air. I don't really know how else to, there's really nothing I can do on my end. It's not happening. I don't know if it would be your computer. I don't see how that would do that, but I see a few people from our group are in the chat tonight. What's up, guys? How you doing? Good to see everybody here. Two or three more points, guys, and I'll promise we're going to get to the new stuff. Yeah, we're going to get to the – what's the victim's name, Martin, there? What's his first name, the shooting victim?
That would be Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that a little bit tonight, guys, too, and a little bit into the whole Google police state spying on you with your, with everything in your house and all of that. Just like two more points here. I went real quick with everybody and just kind of went down, and I'd like you to touch on this, honestly, if you could, about why the truth movement does what they do and how it just, even though it looks like they're opposing the government, they're really reinforcing the myth of the day that this event happened, that 3,000 people died, and that there were four airplanes. And once you veer off from that, that's when you have a problem, right?
Yes, it's totally it's designed to keep you from looking into any of these oddities. And it was like, and I guess you have to keep pushing the envelope because a few years ago I was involved with some people that went and decided to look into the planes and said, the planes are, and I'm not talking, the Clues guys or the, Let's Roll Forums guys, because they, they were doing this too. But at the same time, we decided just to look into the Social Security Death Index thing. And actually, that was one thing that, like, the truth movement would accept, that the planes maybe had some fake passengers on it. But they wouldn't accept that the rest of them were fakes or whatever. And that was the thing that once you go in that land, it's like no man's land, and it's just like saying that you don't believe it was thermite or whatever. And it's just some people I do think it's about the cause and not wanting to go too far. Okay, but there is definitely a very big part of the movement that doesn't want some people to see any farther than what they want them to see, and that's definitely a big proponent of what they're doing. I definitely, we know for a fact that they've stopped people from, they made the no planer thing up real early to tar and feather anyone with that had anything to do with TV fakery. So,
Yep, that's exactly what I said before you got on here. I told them that the whole thing about the no plane is they don't want you. That's such a key piece of evidence. If there's one thing about 9/11 and just one thing only that is the most key piece of evidence from 9/11, guys, it's not Building 7, okay? It's the second plane. It's the second plane, because once you figure out, maybe not once you figure it out, because I figured it out a long time ago and didn't know the whole day was fake, but I did know that a lot of what we saw on TV was manipulated, and I did think that everything after the second plane was pretty much CGI, most of it. Most of what you saw of the towers, and they were, okay? Most of what you saw of the towers were. So anytime you start talking about the no plane stuff, that's why they attacked them so vigorously. Guys, if these people were real researchers, they would welcome all theories. I mean, especially something that has validity to it, okay? I could understand maybe if somebody kept coming with disinfo and would just kept trying to muddy the waters. Yeah, obviously at some point you're not going to welcome every theory. But when it's something that it's true, I mean, for people to just stomp all over it, make fun of you, call you no plane. Oh, yeah, they're kooky no planers. Get out of here. Why are they kooky? Because they can see with their own eyes what their eyes are telling them? You're kooky. Yeah. You're the one that's being influenced by what other people are saying. You're the one that can't do your own research and make up your own damn mind. We lost you for a second, Justin. What'd you say? I think he's having a mic issue.
And which, is really...
You're back.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're back.
Okay. You had a plane that was supposedly going over 500 miles an hour. Now, okay, whether this is possible or not, it doesn't even matter because it's still an aluminum airplane hitting a steel-framed building, supposedly. So, in the fact that you have these, you have these wings that are made of... made of composite and aluminum and whatnot too, breaking through, what's supposed to be core columns or, outside columns is just laughable, and leaving the imprint that they left. If anything, I could see some of the, the tip of the plane maybe making it through while getting sliced like it's going through a cheese grater. But, most of it would have landed outside in the street. It would not have made those big penetrations in those, and, they just act like those steel beams were not there, which is partially right.
They actually cut it out like an airplane, like it's Herman Munster walking through a wall.
Exactly. Like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote smashing through something. Guys, did you remember? I mean, they almost had the shape of the building like the plant. I mean, come on, man. Come on. Come on. And anybody that listened last week and the other shows that we've done on it, you guys know that those are the floors that were vacated. Those floors were empty. That's the impact zone. There was nobody on there, okay? And that's where Cantor Fitzgerald, Marsh McLennan, all these other companies are supposedly. It's all a sham. All this propaganda. Let's talk about the propaganda for a minute. This year, coming up on 9/11, okay, you had the 10-year anniversary, and you had, well, just on that night alone, you had so much propaganda on TV. You had Flight 93, the movie, okay? You know, the whole Let's Roll thing. You know, these other people on there, Mark Bingham making the phone calls. Mark Bingham, the same Mark Bingham that we exposed in the thing with the – oh, yeah, with the – oh, do they? Do they do it every year?
What you're talking about? What the mainstream media does?
Yeah, with the movies and the BS.
Oh yeah, yep.
All right, yeah, and it's all BS, guys. That whole Flight 93 story is BS. The one that's crazy, Justin. The man on the 88th floor, okay, and he supposedly saw the plane coming or something. And that there's a movie,
yes.
Like the man that saw the plane coming. It's like, come on, guys. Have you heard this story? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know exactly the guy you're talking about. He was the one that had to get rescued and pulled over a thing or whatever, the Indian guy, I think he was. He supposedly saw it coming and it hit on the, you know. It's just a really good job of acting, in my opinion, by a lot of these people.
How about the guy that said he was on, like, the 92nd floor and he rode the debris all the way down and just, like, broke his legs and he survived? But all those 300,000 people evaporated.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one, man. That is a
good one. It's just the whole thing that makes you, you know, when they're not in the Social Security Death Index, you know, was the birth certificate search came back on a lot of them with no valid address and everything. You know, it's just too much stuff to say. Hey, you know, then you have this obvious. Morphing of pictures and pictures, you know, made before 9/11 and everything. And the fact that you look at most
obituaries,
of
not just the pictures. Make sure you tell them the obituaries were embedded in the pictures before 9/11.
And here's the thing. And those are of your major heroes, of the big people in the story that they had
all
to
the
embellish.
Ones guy. Go right down the list, guys. All the heroes that you know from 9/11. I mean, for the most part, their obituaries were already in the pictures before 9/11. And we could prove it. That's the crazy thing. And because they know that, you know, people were exposing it, like people at Let's Roll forums or wherever else. When they started exposing this, CNN started taking down the memorial pictures because people were using exit viewers and getting the data off the back of it. Okay? I was able to get some myself before they were all gone. And the same thing, man, you have obituaries that were done before 9/11 and they were embedded in these photos. And then when the photos are edited, okay, they get stamped with a date. They get stamped with the date. The obituaries are in there and the photos weren't edited after 9/11. Well, how is that possible? Well, because it's a bull crap made up movie script story, guys. You know, even a lot of the street interviews that you saw were pre-taped, okay? I'm sure some of them were real. They had people inside the area over there, you know, to do whatever. But a lot of that stuff was pre-taped. And I can prove that there's a Pentagon one that's pre-taped. I'm not sure if I put it up in the blog. But at the end of the show tonight, if I don't already have it up in the blog, I'll throw it up here in the chat, and I'll throw it in the comments right below too. You know, you have Shepard Smith is at the Pentagon, okay? And it's 11:30 at night, 9/11, and they're talking about hundreds of people dead at the Pentagon. And, you know, it's just an estimate or whatever at the time. And that's fine. You know, it's the same day. That's fine. They can have an estimate. They don't have to have the hard number yet. But they're talking about the number dead. Well, if you crop the video and you zoom in at the top, you can see the roof line of the Pentagon. And it's not even damaged. There's nothing going on. The interview was pre-taped. I'm not saying the Pentagon wasn't ever damaged. I'm telling you the interview was pre-taped. You know, somebody asked last week, it was one of our frequent callers, David. He asked about the Pentagon. He said, do you guys ever get into the Pentagon? And I was like, you know, David, that's a really good question, because honestly, when the heck have I ever addressed the Pentagon? They really haven't. But I think once you get to this point with, you know, proving the whole – do you guys think after faking the 3,000 people at the Towers and that whole sham of the Towers being built just for that, vacated, you know, the whole nonsense, all the computer imagery, all that, do you guys really think 100 people died at the Pentagon? I mean, come on.
Well, here's another thing from there, too, is we have evidence of more Hollywood effects, too, at the Pentagon.
At the Pentagon, like
smoke
yes.
machines and everything else.
Good point.
You know,
good point.
So I mean, you know, even there, it's the same level as you know, where you had smoke machines at the World Trade Center. You had the same type of smoke machines at the Pentagon, you know, and I'm sure there was other effects as well.
Yep, and then you guys, if you want to say, well, what about these witnesses? What about people like April Gallup? Guys, April Gallup, well, she was on the Jesse Ventura show, and these are these shows that are out there to twist the truth of these things. Okay, you can't believe, you know, that's what she was there for, to give that, you know, to give these interviews. It's unbelievable, guys. They had so many people giving these convincing interviews because they were actors. They were good at it. That's why they were so dramatic, some of these interviews. That's pretty much all I needed to go down tonight, Justin, on this. If you had anything you wanted to add on 9/11, I mean, go ahead. If not, I mean, we'll just move on unless somebody calls up and has a question or something. I mean, we'll get into some new stuff tonight.
Yeah, I think we've run the gamut on it for now. You know, so I'm trying to think of, you know, I don't know what I missed the last two hours.
That was pretty much it, and I just talked about how they pulled off the illusion. Oh, you know what? I didn't get into it too much. Real quickly, guys, you know, last point here, the way they pulled off the illusion, okay? And I know I touched on it last week, but let's get into it real quick. They build the towers. First of all, they built the towers in less than 2 years. It's a 10-year project. They built it in less than 2 years and way under budget, okay? There was about 300 companies on a place called Radio Row that occupied the property where the towers were. They kicked everybody out, okay? They didn't offer any of them any space, okay? And from what I think, I'm not sure, but how many construction companies actually worked on it, Justin? Wasn't it just like one big company?
So
I think they kept it real close-knit, you know what I mean, real tight-knit. And then they went up in like wrecking time, and that's because they never finished the inside. Now, you know, it makes perfect sense. Okay. Oh. Now the way they were able to carry out the illusion, guys, and did I even get into the shutters a lot last week? We got to mention that is they, you know, and I put videos up there in the blog, guys, if you go in there, okay, they actually put a shuttering system on the outside of the towers. Okay. And they didn't put it on until at least 1978, it wasn't finished yet, because we have the pictures from 78, and the shutters are built halfway up the building. You can still see clear through the tower at the top, okay?
Right.
And this is in 1978, and if you go back and you look through the occupancy report, these
right.
companies are supposedly on those floors. Marsh McLennan, these companies that lost all these people, they're lying to you. You have proof. It's right in front of your eyes. So what do? They had to cover this up, so they put the shuttering system up there to throw light in different directions, to block sunlight,
just make it look like it's one big, you know, one big bright thing like they want to, you know, and maybe even help some in other ways, too, because they can throw up
they
nice
can change the offices that are lit.
Right, you know, and they could also make it a nice decoration if, you know, whatever they want, like these other buildings do. So,
and
I mean,
they
you
did.
Know, it,
they did. They did yeah. a big one called the E-Team. I have a picture of it. I'll throw it up after where they lit it all up with the shutters, okay? They used this system to do that. But that's not really the most convincing thing. Go to the 9/11 special blog that we have there and go down to the automatic shutters. I'm not exactly sure where it is. I'm not on that page right now. But just go down and watch the video of it. It's unbelievable, guys. I mean, it really is. So that's part of the physical illusion on the outside, how they blocked out the hollow effect. Now, what they did for, you know, the whole occupancy to make it appear that it was these busy, busy buildings like they said – well, they built a subway station in the bottom of the towers. It brought 400,000 people a day through there. That's a lot of people, man, even for a building that size. Now, and they also, you know, they put the observation deck up top. They put the Windows on the World on the other tower up top, okay? And that gets foot traffic going up and down, in and out. And when do people use the subway? They use it pretty much, most people use it during the time that an office building would be busy because that's what people do. They take the subway to work. So people coming in and out of that building all day long, okay, all day long. Nobody's going to know the difference. They just restrict certain floors. And there were big chunks of floors, guys. Look at the pictures of the elevators. Big chunks of floors that didn't even have buttons for them. And they're the same floors that were the impact zone. So all these thousands of people that supposedly went to, or you can see where we're going. We went down this road last week. These are the same floors that the art students tell you are empty, the 10 floors above them. The same floors, the same floors. And the way they pulled the stunt off was with the subway, the shuttering system. You know, it was really a pretty genius plan if you think about it. And then on the morning of 9/11, they had a fire drill. Just in case any stragglers somehow got in there or whatever, they had a fire drill. They cleared everybody out of there. They made sure everybody was out of there. That's about all. I mean, Justin, you want to move on to the take the lead on the shooting thing?
Yeah, I'll jump into that. Here's the thing, guys, is you know, it's been going on, and I'm sure that everybody who's listening has heard of the Trayvon Martin case. Now, in this case, there's, you know, we're hearing two sides of the story now. But regardless of the facts, now here are the facts as we know them so far. We have a kid, was he 17 years old or 16 years old, that was walking through a neighborhood, you know, had a man actually, you know, go and you know, and harass him several times. And to make a long story short, pretty much what happened is he was gunned down as he was walking right after the man called 911, said he had seen a suspicious person, shoots this kid, you know, and then ends up not getting arrested or anything else. Now, you know, my whole thoughts on it. However, now, just to be fair, there is people, you know, coming out saying that there was a witness that saw him assaulting, that saw Martin assaulting Mr. Zimmerman. But to be fair, you know, now just to get back to the other thing, well, he had no right to stalk this kid around, you know, with a gun and threaten him or God knows what else. Even if that was the case, and it sounds like he started, because if you think about it, he called the cops, and then all of a sudden this kid ends up shot. The cops told him to leave, you know. I believe they told him to not follow him or anything. Now, here's the thing about this whole story. You know, I don't know why they've made it so big. I'm kind of perplexed about that because it has turned into not only a left-right issue, but it's also a race issue. You know, and that's what they want. I think it's something, you know, whether this was, you know, I don't want to say it was contrived, but something that happened to where they can jump onto and just divide the people again by just saying, you know, by having stuff like this and having the reactions of people getting so mad, you know. But I'll tell you what, I'm mad about it too, about the fact that 27 days has gone by now and this guy has not been arrested. I know if that was me, I you know, and I went out and shot somebody not in my own property, you know, after all that, they're going to at least arrest me and then send me to court afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, pretty much the old tell it to the judge line. You know, you're not going to, I don't know. I find that very funny that this guy hasn't been arrested. And I wonder with Homeland Security nowadays, as far as, you know, a lot of the Homeland Security, I mean, as far as neighborhood watches and everything, getting money from Homeland Securities and stuff like that. It almost makes you wonder, you know, what is this guy, you know, if he's not a snitch for him, or obviously is, but just in general, that, you know, this guy Zimmerman just shows the type of world we live in, that everyone is so scared of people that are not, you know, looking like them or, you know, whatever else. And, you know, I think it's just sad in general that something like this happened.
Yeah, they love the racial division too. I mean, they love that. They would love, you know, they would love an all-out race war. I mean, they really would.
That's what they want. That's exactly what they want.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we definitely don't want that, but that's what they want, you know?
Yep. They want everybody out there, whether it's, you know, talking about What's that? Oh, Bo's calling it a psyop. You know, yeah, I tend to agree. You know, in the facts that, you know, of what we heard and the fact right away of what this might mean as far as, you know, the division thing. You know, another thing that a lot of people bring up is gun legislation. You know, I don't know. I do think that it does help, but how many of these do we really, you know, they've been saying that since the 90s, the whole gun registration, gun legislation thing. I think, to be honest, they want people to have guns. They want you to have guns for this, this coming time when people are going to be so unsure of who they can trust and who they can't trust that they end up shooting each other. They want to see, you know, people running the streets and you know, riots and blood in the streets. That's the whole goal of everything, of Occupy and of Tea Party and pretty much how Alex Jones
pushes it. He wants everybody to have their guns. Like, he always talks about guns and he gets real pissed when, you know, they're going to come down and take you. Like, he really fires it up. Like, he really makes you feel like you need to have a gun.
And either way, yeah, like you said, they're going to come and take it. This is just them wanting to come and grab your guns. You know, and I do agree. I do believe that they do eventually want to get the guns out of the American citizens' hands. However, I don't see it being something that's going to happen overnight because of how strong American sovereignty you know, is, and the fact that people do like their guns and whatnot. So, hey, they're going to use that against us, and they're going to say, well, you know what? Why don't we have an ugly war and at the same time a civil war, where everybody is divided between religions and race and class. Class is a big one. You know, hey, let's even let them. Maybe they're even thinking of giving us a fake revolution. Where they can, you know, where we so-called thinker, a good majority of people think that we got the bad guys out. You know, you never know when in reality it'll just be a different system and, you know, a different scam until everybody awakens to this thing. And that's part of it, too. It makes you wonder why do they want people to wake up to a certain extent?
I think they want to have one big revolution, and then they want to clamp down on us and take our guns.
Yeah, well, you know, it makes sense because, you know, it's like, you know, that would be the perfect excuse. That's what it just fits in with the order out of chaos thing. You know, hey, you guys started all the problems with your guns, and not only that, but all these wars were started over religion and national sovereignty. So let's just end national sovereignty. Let's just end religion. Let's just go to, to this new system and there's going to be a lot of events that are going to sway the next generation of people into believing it. And this isn't going to be an overnight thing. You know, this is going to be years in the making, but this, they've waited 2000 years. They can wait another, what's waiting another 100. And that's why I think that people get all involved in this year is the year, not necessarily, like I said before, slow kill is tried and true, is something that they can do that, you know, really, in all reality, can yield them the results in enough time. Think about it. Right now, the people that are out there are going to be the first, the baby boomers are going to be the first generation to die at an age before their parents. Think of that. With all the technology and the medical breakthroughs we have, that they're going to actually die. It's a statistic. They are dying before their parents, and that the whole generation is going to be 2 years younger. You know, you do that with every generation, and pretty soon you're looking at people that live to 45, 50 years old, die of cancer, and work their whole lives. And I think that's very much what they want. You know, your religion is the state. Your religion is some type of thing that makes you, some type of slate. You know, I'm talking about the new religion they implement, or the new lack of religion, or whatever they have planned. Yep. I do think they're.
Yeah, you know, they definitely want a one world. I think they want like a one world lack of religion.
right.
Pretty much. And if they want a religion at all, they want it towards Satanism.
Well, I definitely think, and you're right, and I think, but by Satanism, it's more or less, a lot of people don't understand that, that Satanism is not exactly worshiping Satan. You're actually, it's worship of self. And that's what it is. It's, you know, these people are humanists and, you know, secular human, and they just, they believe that, that, you know, that they have the right to, you know, to decide how long the rest of us live. And, you know, yeah, it's very much tied to, you know, to what they get into. But, you know, that's what they believe. And that's why, you know, the ends justify the means to them, in other words, and the type of, you know, do what thou will be the extent of the law, which is, you know, an old Aleister Crowley saying. I might have muffed that word or two, but, you know, Crowley was a big influence on a lot of these people. And I do believe OTO is a secret society that's alive and well as far as in the pecking order of this stuff. You know, like I said, a lot of times I don't want to dig too much into the power structure, but I do think that that's something that a lot of people don't know about. And it was a number, like I said, I think it was last week that you saw all through 9/11, Flight 93, 903 crash, etc. But, you know, getting back into the tangent I was on, I don't know, Brian, where was I? Or, you know, if you have any, go ahead.
No, no, you got me a little lost in it, but because the OTO, I just don't really know too much about the OTO. I know that was Aleister Crowley things, but I don't know too much about the history of him. What's his, you know, can you give us a brief history of what his deal is and why he's so powerful? He was what? He was Barbara Bush's father or something?
Well, what a lot of people believe is that Barbara Pierce was actually born to Aleister Crowley, that her mother actually had an affair and was living in France with Aleister Crowley. Crowley was known for, you know, Thelema and sex magic, you know, and all this other stuff. He, you know, was very, very big occultist. He made this order, Ordo Templi Orientis. And, you know, many people believe, too, that he had a big part in the rise of Hitler. Here was a guy, he was a British double agent, is how I heard him best. I do believe that he played a partial role in maybe brainwashing Hitler. We do know that all of Hitler's inner circle was supposedly members of OTO. Also, you have guys that are off. Listen to some of the offshoots of him. You have L. Ron Hubbard, who made Scientology.
Uh-huh.
L. Ron Hubbard was one of his biggest students. You know, and you know, there you can go on and on. Crowley had a very big reach, and he's actually looked up to by a lot of these scumbags. And you know, and he was an evil man. He referred to himself, I believe, was the wickedest man on the earth or whatever, you know.
So Simone from our group said his book talked about drinking the blood of children. Is that true?
Yes, and adrenal glands and everything else. Yes, sick people, very sick people. They're talking about the founder of the Church of Satan. That's Anton LaVey. That's a totally different thing. Church of Satan, again, is another thing. They're not... I wouldn't say they're as high up. They're more of it's definitely involved in as far as you want to go into the Temple of Set, which was an offshoot of the Anton LaVey Satanism thing. Now, Michael Aquino, who's very big in the military and MK Ultra, was actually, that's what he did was, you know, he started the Temple of Set, and that just shows you how many Satanists there are in the military today, and the fact that it's accepted. Michael Aquino was also someone that was involved in child trafficking and everything else, you know, probably tied into the Franklin case and many others. So, you know, it's very sick when you go back to it. Hey, Ben Franklin had a club, a secret society called the Hellfire Club, and then, you know, a few years ago it was reported that there was hundreds of bodies found underneath his house when they dug under it in Philadelphia.
Under whose house? So, Ben Franklin, you said?
Ben Franklin, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I didn't know. You know what? I don't want to, crush anybody's dreams here. But, how do we know that our founding fathers were any better than the politicians we have right now?
I really don't believe that most of them were. I believe there was a few of them that were, and I believe that most of them were. I don't want to just say Freemason scum, because it's not just Freemasonry, but it's. I do want to, they a lot of them were agents,
You don't want to say it, but you really do because you said it.
Yeah. the whole thing is, I want to say is a lot of them were agents, and whether that was for the Vatican or whether that was for, the English crown or Freemasonry So, I mean, it goes to show that a lot of them, we're there to subvert some of the ideas as well. It's something other people talked a lot about. I haven't dealt as deeply in it, but when you have stuff like that coming through, you have other allegations. A lot of these guys were, big slaveholders and everything else. And, it's just the fact that they're from the same bloodlines as the people that still, supposedly, rule today. Well, a zebra doesn't change its stripes, so.
No, that's true. That's absolutely true. All right, guys, what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick 3-minute break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Real News Radio with Justin Cook and Brian Stavely.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I'll never amount to nothing. For all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from, that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah.
To all my peoples in the struggle, what I'm saying? It's all good, baby.
Check it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought the hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know. Close and personal with Robin Leach, and I'm far from cheap. I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know. Sega Genesis, when I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew's lounging. Celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack. Now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce.
We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right, I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive and it's all.
Well, guys, I'm sorry. We're back. That was quite the abrupt ending to our intro there. Justin, yeah. You here? We're back a little early. I don't know what happened there. YouTube decided to switch videos on us, I guess.
Yeah, YouTube shot Biggie again.
YouTube sucks now. You know, the other night when we did our show, guys, I was trying to go to break, and I want to thank Trevor because he sent me some software. That I can use to do things a little better, but I'm not.
Yeah,
using
Trevor.
It yet.
Trevor's a good guy.
Yeah, he helped me out with some shareware that was out there that I didn't know about, and I'm still using the YouTube for now because I can't figure it out. But I'm in the middle of figuring out. I just gotta mess with it a little more. But the YouTube, last week when I was trying to do the show, and this is why the YouTube stinks. I was trying to launch a video to go to the outro, and the damn thing, it made me put a CAPTCHA in. For every video I wanted to play, I had to type a bunch of characters. So, that whole thing, it's so unreliable with the Skype and with the YouTube and everything else, but there's a lot of stuff out there. I just need to experiment with a lot of things, you know what I mean? I want to get a live stream up going. That's another free thing that we use. I want to do that once in a while. I don't think I can do that with you, Justin. I think we need to find a different service for that.
Well, I'd probably have to get a webcam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't even have a webcam.
Probably get a webcam and maybe shave once a month and and work on this echo we got going on here.
Yeah, I just got rid of it. I forgot about that.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so I got some new stuff to figure out with the station, some improvements that I'm going to make around here. It's a lot of work trying to figure everything out, but, everybody's been helpful in the community, helping out with ideas and stuff like that. So I want to thank everybody that's, given us a hand around here with some ideas and stuff like that. One of the things I wanted to move on to now, did you want to touch a little more on that shooting thing, or are we pretty much past that? You know what? Go ahead.
No, I do want to say a couple things about it. It's just the fact that they would, let's just say this is 100%, no funny business or nothing. I just noticed a few things about it, and one thing that sticks out in the actual, case part of it is the fact that they drug tested the victim and never drug tested the shooter, which makes no sense to me. Supposedly he was left to bleed. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those stories where you'll want to say that it's 100% legit, but some of these things are not adding up to me. But I don't want to really go that route until I have more things. But as it looks right now, it just looks as like some racist white guy with some ideas in his head didn't want this black kid going through his neighborhood and took matters into his own hands. Now, I just wanted to say one quick thing about a lot of these neighborhood watch things. I got into it for a second, I think, and I went off on another tangent. And the thing is, a lot of these neighborhood watch groups right now, like I said, they report directly to Department of Homeland Security and these fusion centers.
That's
and
crazy.
They also have they have meetings with the local cops. They have all these other things. That's another thing that they're used against targeted individuals. If you have people out there in the community that are whistleblowers or maybe they lived on a military base, saw something they shouldn't have seen, or talking like even wives of soldiers, or there's a lot of examples of this going on, and it's really a silent warfare, and they make you think, they make the person think that they're going crazy, when in fact they're messing with them, and they they mess them to the point of near collapse, and they don't bother them for a month or two, and then they bring it on strong again with it really, you know, you have to check it out, because, you know, for yourself to see some of the stories. But just Google electronic harassment targeted individuals, and you'll see the type of microwave weaponry and whatnot that they're using on people. And, you know, and actually, I just had a report about this today. I don't even have my browser up, but just about how they were saying that they don't have to tell people, you know, if they're on these lists, they don't have to tell people, you know, hey.
That's so unfair. You should.
It is.
Not only know, but you should know exactly why and when you were put on and when you're going to be right. off or when you're going to be up for review or something.
And here's the thing. It can take, all it takes is two people to call the FBI or Homeland Security on you to get a terrorism dossier going on.
Oh, wonderful.
You. Yep. So if you have two people that don't like you, and they call in to, you know, Homeland Security or
you
the
know
FBI.
How many rats there are out there too? Jesus, man, we're all doomed.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys know I don't like to say that. I don't like to, you know, if we're all doomed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it's going to, you know, the police state is unacceptable, you know, as it is, and the fact that it's escalating further and further, you know, towards this, you know, man, I don't even know what you call it. I mean, you know, the end result is a transhumanist police state with a camera in every room of everyone's house.
That's a perfect segue into exactly what I want to get into right now with the police state. And Jesus, you just, you know, hit the nail on the head, camera in everybody's house. And Google, okay, and I'm sure you guys have seen this, they just got a patent to be able to actually – now, first of all, you know, it was reported like 5 or 6 years ago that Google was using your microphone on your computer without you even knowing. They were turning it on, picking up sounds, and using it for quote-unquote advertising purposes, okay? Listening for sounds in your house like a dog barking or something like that, or kids playing, and then they would flash ads, you know, dog food, toys, diapers, you know, whatever, right? You could imagine the things that they could do if that's what it's really being used for. But now, okay, you have all these – smart appliances, okay? You have stoves connected to the internet, okay? They want to be able to use all these things in your house, basically. It's supposed to just be your phone to start with. That's what the patent's for. But they want to be able to pick up things like room temperature, lighting. They want to know all types of things to build a psychological profile on you. This is just getting way too far, Justin. This has gone way too far.
Yeah.
I mean, even just the microphone thing, when I first heard about that, that was too much. Google got caught driving around with their Street View van stealing people's wireless data. That's going too far. Nobody's going to stop them. I mean, it's the government, you know? This whole thing with all the stuff in your house, and they say they're going to be able to look at you through your TV. It's going to have facial recognition on it. Like, they're trying to make things look like fun, like kind of like what they did with Facebook. Like, you want to give your information away, it's fun. They're trying to like put little nick, like little okay, you could turn your TV on because it knows what you look like with facial recognition, so you don't even need to hit any buttons or something. Stuff like that, you know. It's just gone way too far, man, and I just wish there was a way we could opt out of all of it, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's really, you know, it's going too far. And think about it, 20 years ago, would you have really given up would you have given up as much information about yourself as we've given up, and, you know, just in the computer age? No, of course not. Of course, you know, none of us would have volunteered that much information. But, you know, and nowadays we're doing it and not even thinking about it. And everything is being logged. It doesn't matter if you're a terrorist or not, or if you're a good person or a bad, you know, almost everything. And they say for advertising purposes. And of course, that helps pay the bills. But, you know, it's also because of, you know, the police state and the need to actually have everybody's information, and eventually they want to even patent your genes. You know, it's insane.
Oh yeah, they patented food. I mean, they let Monsanto patent food. They own food now. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable,
yeah, exactly.
Guys. It's unbelievable what corporations are allowed to do in this country. This country is one big corporation with a bunch of other corporations underneath it, with a couple of major ones with other subsidiaries. That's what it is, right?
What was that?
The whole country is a big corporation, and then it runs all these other corporations underneath it, like the larger ones you know of, and then everything's run under them under like subsidiaries. It's I don't know, man. It's pretty crazy. This country's not made out for the little guy. I'll tell you that right now.
No, it's not right. What you're seeing is you're seeing the mass privatization of everything. You're seeing the availability to have private prison, you know, private prisons, private, you know, private security, which is really in essence private armies, and that's the case that we're getting to, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. This whole thing is just something that people have kind of done to counter a little bit of the police state I wanted to get into, guys, tonight. Not really a big story. I just want to touch on it real quick. I thought it was actually kind of cool. A lot of people out there use a site called the Pirate Bay. Now, what the Pirate Bay is a site where you go and you get a torrent file, which could be a movie. It could be a friggin' Xbox game. It could be a lot of things. People mostly go there for movies. Okay, people go there and download all types of movies, you know, and sometimes they burn them, sometimes they just view them. It's really, 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 really popular site. Okay, well, with everything that's going on with the government, you know, like what happened with Mega Upload, for instance, and we'll touch back on that again in a minute. You know, Mega Upload got shut down. That was a similar type of site, not exactly the same, but it had definitely some similarities to it. Pirate Bay is actually going to put something like – I forget the number, but they're going to put a bunch of drones up in the air, and they're going to put their servers up on the drones, and they're going to – you know, they haven't figured out how strong of a wireless signal they'll be able to do yet and all this. They're still playing with everything, but they plan on doing this rather soon because they just say they can't just have their stuff on land anymore. Now – I think it's a pretty cool idea. I saw the story. But I'm just thinking, if they really want to get these guys, they're just going to shoot those freaking things out of the sky. I was just thinking about that, Justin. It's not like say they go to raid them on the ground and they can't because their servers and all the information, they'll just blow those things out of the sky.
Yeah, no, if they really wanted to, you know, I'm sure they would. You know, who knows? When it comes down to it, you know, if one of these bills pass or whatever – or you know what? Or if it really became a problem, they don't even need to blow it out of the sky. They just hit it with an EMP and watch it do a nosedive. You know, it's that simple, and they wouldn't care about it because you know it just, you know it makes you wonder. You know the whole thing. I do wish that company well, and you know in trying to preserve what, the flow of free information, you know, and everything. So. But we'll see.
I hope they don't get shut down, you know. I'm not going to say I use them all the time, but I, you know, I know people that do, and you know, it's a good site to have up, you know. Absolutely. What else? Anything else you want to specifically touch on tonight that we didn't talk about yet?
Let me see something. I was looking for that article. I don't know where the hell I posted it earlier.
Which one?
But I had the one about the thing I was just talking about as far as the government only you know needing you know two complaints on you to open a terrorist dossier, and I can't find it right now.
That's just so ridiculous. And this whole thing, guys, this whole thing, just like the caller said earlier, you know, the whole 9/11 and all this is all about fear, okay? And now look what's happened now. Homeland Security was never set up for the big, bad, scary Muslims that you all thought were going to get us. No. Homeland Security was set up for us.
Oh, I found it.
Set up to spy on us. What do you got? Go ahead. You got the article. What do you want to say?
No, I just found it. I'm just going to throw it in the chat.
Okay. yeah, so guys, Homeland Security was never about stopping Muslim terrorists. This whole terrorism thing, guys, the whole thing. If you're a new listener to this show, okay, maybe you don't know, you know, what train of thought we're on here, but listen to me right now. Listen really good. I'm not saying there aren't any terrorists in the world, but what you know of as terrorism is a complete lie. Okay? Al-Qaeda is a lie. Now, if you listen to people in the alternative media, they'll tell you about how Al-Qaeda is controlled by the government, this, that, and the other thing, okay? Al-Qaeda is just made out of thin air, okay? There might be some real Al-Qaeda out there that they're running, but I really highly doubt that now. I really, really do. Because we look at all these events. I mean, they don't even happen, okay? These are just scripted out Hollywood-style events. And, you know, if they tell you Al-Qaeda did something, I can't really believe that. I can't really believe that there's an Al-Qaeda. I'm sorry. I can't. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. The propaganda that they get away with on people in the mainstream is unbelievable. Do you remember the night? And this is a big night. I know you remember this night because everybody in the truth community remembers this night because we were all friggin' pissed off. Do you remember the night they said they killed Bin Laden? Justin, you there? I think I lost Justin. All right, well, hopefully we get him back. Guys, you guys remember the night, right? Everybody was out in the streets celebrating like a bunch of idiots. You remember that? People out in front of the White House.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, they said the broadcast went dead. Are you there, Justin?
Yeah, I got knocked off, too.
All right, let me I hope we're back up. I'm trying to find out. I don't know what happened.
I think we should be back up because I got knocked off too all of a sudden. I don't know if that was the call. We're on a little delay, so maybe in a second.
All right, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm gonna relaunch the Winamp. Can you tell the people in the chat? Hang on.
Yeah, guys.
We should be back. Guys, are we back? I hope they can hear us. I don't know.
Do I have to call you for the... Okay, they can hear. Okay.
Okay, they can hear. Guys, we're back. Tell them to the other guys to refresh. Refresh everything. Yep. Okay, guys, we're back. We apologize. We don't know what happened. We got booted off. Justin, you sound a little weird too. I don't know. It's not you. I'm sure it's the connection here. Why don't I hang up with you and have you dial right back in?
Sure.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, guys, we apologize. We don't know what happened. We just got booted off, so I shut it down and launched it back up. We apologize about that. Things are kind of wacky sometimes. I forget where we were just at. Well, let me get Justin here. Justin, you remember where we were before we dropped?
We were talking about the police state. You had just talked about the drones, in fact. Someone wanted to know how
Oh, no, we were talking about terrorism, about Al-Qaeda being made up.
Right. Well, let me get into a little bit of this.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So, take it over.
So someone wanted to know about how the drone thing or this company would make money to be able to fly the drones. But also, so let me get advertising. Exactly. But anyway, here, let's get down to Al-Qaeda. It was originally, what we know as the people of Al-Qaeda, the Osama bin Ladens, a.k.a. Tim Osmonds. These were all people that were contracted to work with the CIA in Afghanistan and went under the name Mujahideen. However, following the Afghanistan war, the Mujahideen kind of, went by the byways, and we kept a lot of the same contacts on in the CIA, and actually, had them, doing, covert work for us or, whatever else, I say us, I mean the, disgusting, republic that we're supposedly under right now. But anyway, to make a long story short, Al-Qaeda is not even a real thing. It's a made up thing. There's nobody out there, unless they're like a wannabe, saying I'm Al-Qaeda. There's no such thing. And in fact, in certain translations, Al-Qaeda actually means the toilet. It doesn't mean the base. I'm dead serious. It just goes how I think it's Farsi. It might be Farsi or a type of, one of the religions, which is, I mean, sorry, religions. So one of the languages that a lot of these so-called Al-Qaeda would speak, the word doesn't even make sense. And, you know, how far they would go. I mean, just Google Osman, O-S-M-A-N, you know, and that you can actually look up and see pictures to Zbigniew Brzezinski and, you know, Kissinger, and actually, I don't know if there's, you know, touring, you know, United States weapons facilities and everything. And it's just been a total scam. You know, when I think of, when I hear Al-Qaeda, I think CIA right away.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just a boogeyman made up by the CIA.
Guys, just think of everything you learned about 9/11 lately. Just think about all that. And you really think Al-Qaeda is going to be real? I mean, come on, man. That's just the organization that they made up to scare us. And then all these events that Al-Qaeda pulled off are all the same events that don't really go down. They're all these scripted Hollywood events. And all these people that are supposedly affiliated with these Al-Qaeda people, you never get to see them in court. You always get to see artist renditions of them. And all their stories are always bullcrap, like the Fort Hood thing and the underwear bomber. And it just goes on and 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 on. Even all the way up to the, this is where we got cut off. It's unbelievable when they cut. I wonder if they cut us off. I was saying, you know, there was a night that went by not that long ago that we all remember. Everybody in the truth community remembers because we were all really pissed off that night. Do you remember the night that they supposedly killed Osama bin Laden?
Oh, man.
Do you remember the attitude of all these idiots?
Yeah, I really do. And you know, I remember even watching.
Justin, we dropped you. Your voice got cut out. Justin's got a bad mic, guys. We apologize. You're back. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I just want to say, I think it was Luke Radowski, the night when they supposedly killed killed Osama for the I don't know, fourth or fifth time. Now you can go and look back though, real quick, before I get into the state of how utterly insane and stupid these people looked. But
we have a caller, Justin. Okay. We have a caller.
Paul, you're live on Real News Radio. Go ahead.
You're live on Real News Radio.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, who's this?
This is Ambrosia. You were on our show last night, and I just wanted to say that I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I guess what I wanted to...
Ambrosia, you still there? This damn Skype, man.